Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's Wednesday, July 7th, and I'm your host, Stephanie Maltrich. The Nooshigak fleet harvested another 1.5 million fish yesterday. The Quijax's run is still surging as around 800,000 salmon swim upriver. And some sun and warmer temps are in the forecast on the west side. Coming up on tonight's show, the Nooshigak fleet has harvested more than 1 million fish 6 out of the past 7 days.
Last night, actually, we had some giant sets, two just back-to-back giant sets, and there was almost no boats out. It was kind of mysterious, like we were wondering what happened to all the rest of the fishermen.
We'll get some perspective from out on the water. Why don't all rivers use apportionment when counting fish?
All our other places are towers, and from the towers it's clear water and we can see the actual fish. On the Nooshigak we're using sonar and it's muddy water and we can't see the actual fish, we just see the images of them going by.
We'll hear from biologists in the bay. A group of university students are learning about fisheries management in Bristol Bay this summer.
The idea is to bring them out here when the fishery is, you know, hot and heavy. They get to see what the managers are doing. They get to, you know, meet the fishermen, look at the, you know, the local town and the communities and how they're dependent on it.
We'll hop on board with the class for a day out on the water. Those conversations and more on today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Welcome back. Up next, you guessed it, the numbers. The Bay-wide run is at 30.5 million fish, now well over halfway to the season estimate of 50 million. Around the bay, more than 1.8 million fish escaped yesterday, and around 11 million fish have swam to their spawning grounds. Daily catch was a whopper, as fleets around the bay harvested 2.7 million fish. So far, 18.5 million fish have been sent to the processor this season. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's look at the McKinley Research Group's weekly harvest update. Compared to 2020, sockeye harvest is up 98%, nearly double of what it was this time last year. That being said, the bay is on track with a 5-year average for annual harvest. Bristol Bay is currently one of the most productive regions in the state. The Nooshigak District is on a big million fish streak. Fishermen harvested 1.5 million fish yesterday. That makes 6 out of 7 days that the Nooshigak has caught over a million fish. Average drift delivery yesterday was 1,784 sockeye. The total harvest is 11.4 million. Nooshigak drifters have caught around 83% of the season's cumulative harvest. Nooshigak set netters have hauled in just over 10%, and Agushik set netters have harvested 2%. Around the district, 607,700 fish escaped yesterday, bringing the season's total escapement to 6.6 million. The Nooshigak's total run is at 18.1 million. Looking at those numbers by river, the Nooshigak River sockeye run is coming right along. 328,700 sockeye swam past the sonar yesterday, bringing total escapement to 3.6 million. The Chinook run, meanwhile, is continuing at a steady, slow pace. The sonar counted almost 3,000 Chinook for a total of 41,600. Chum saw a bump yesterday as 5,800 of them swam up the Nooshigak, bringing the total chum run to 70,600. The Wood River's numbers are staying high. 225,300 fish swam up the river yesterday, and another 47,000 fish had swam past the tower as of 6 a.m. this morning, bringing the Wood River's total escapement to 2.7 million. That escapement is now 1 million fish over its upper end escapement goal of 1.8 million. In the Agushik, 53,800 fish passed the counting tower yesterday, and another 10,300 swam past this morning for a total escapement of 348,800. That means the Agushik is right in the middle of its escapement goal range. Togiak's fleet harvested 12,000 fish yesterday with an average of 230 sockeye per drift delivery. The total harvest there is at 47,000. We're still excited to see Togiak's escapement numbers. 6,000 fish swam up the river yesterday, and another 700 fish escaped this morning. The season's total escapement is at 10,800, just 9% of the minimum escapement goal there of 120,000. Togiak's total run is almost 58,000. Now let's look on the east side. The Naknek Kwajalleq fleet harvested 862,000 fish during yesterday's openers, with an average of over 1,200 sockeye per drift delivery. The district's total harvest is 2.4 million. Of that cumulative catch, the district's drifters harvested 61%, and the rest is split between the Kwajalleq and Naknek set netters. Kwajalleq set net fleet has harvested 19%, and Naknek set nets have caught 20%. A huge escapement in the Naknek Kwajalleq, as more than 1.1 million fish swam past the counting towers in the district. That's one-third of the season's total escapement so far of 3.4 million. The run there doesn't look like that will slow down anytime soon. An estimated 800,000 fish are in the Kwajalleq. The district's total run is at 6.6 million. And we'll break that down by river again. In the Naknek, 454,600 fish swam upriver yesterday for a total escapement of 1.2 million, right in the middle of its escapement goal range. The Kwajalleq's run is still going strong, as 502,400 escaped, bringing the total to 1.3 million, the highest in the district, though still at the lower end of the goal range. An estimated 800,000 fish are swimming up the Kwajalleq. Hefty numbers in the Alagnek, 148,600 fish escaped up the river yesterday for a total of 753,600. That is well above their minimum escapement goal of 210,000. Egagik's harvest numbers are still pretty skinny. The fleet caught 314,000 for a total of 3.9 million. The average drift delivery was 724 sockeye. The drift fleet has caught 84% of that total catch, while the set netters have harvested the remaining 16%. Egagik has passed its lower end escapement goal of 800,000. The river's total escapement has reached 1 million, as 129,900 fish escaped yesterday, an estimated 75,000 are swimming upriver. Egagik's total run is 5 million fish. Ugashik didn't fish yesterday, so its cumulative harvest stays at just under 669,000. The drift fleet has harvested almost 95,000 of the season's total harvest, and set netters have caught around 5%. An estimated 10,000 are swimming up the Ugashik. 3,000 fish swam up the Ugashik yesterday, bringing the season's total escapement to 36,500. That's under 10% of the lower end escapement goal, there of 500,000. The total run is at 715,300. Over to the Chignik River now, 8,040 sockeye passed the weir yesterday, and 18 Chinook swam upriver. 192 sockeye passed the weir as of 9 a.m. 6 Chinook also passed the weir by 9 a.m., bringing the season total Chinook run to just 61. The total sockeye run up the Chignik River is at 216,500. The early run is at 198,300, and the late run is at just over 18,000. Over to Area M now. All of yesterday's South Peninsula harvest is confidential due to a limited number of processors. Yesterday, the Area M fleet caught 220,000 sockeye for a season total of 4.2 million. Chinook harvest was 24 for just over 3,100, and Chum harvest was 34, bringing that total to 802,000. No fishing at the Port Muller test fishery yesterday, as boats were weathered off the water, according to an update from scientists Michael Link and Scott Rayborn. The Pandalus made a long and slow run in from Station 12 Monday and spent yesterday in the Port Muller area. The Ocean Cat spent last night behind Hagermeister Island and ventured out this morning headed for Station 20. After a few hours of 12 to 14 foot seas and strong winds, the crews deemed it unfishable and turned back to hide another night near Hagermeister. Winds today were forecast to improve significantly, but the seas from a southwester may take a bit to lie down. Link and Rayborn say that July 7th seems like a lucky day to get a good set of stations fished, fingers crossed. We do have the 8th stock composition estimate. There is a big push of fish heading to the Ugashik. Around 24% of the fish sampled were making their way there. The Nooshigak's run looks like it will recede slightly from the high highs the district has seen recently. 18% of the run sampled was headed to the Wood River, while just over 12% was going to the Nooshigak River and 0.6% swimming to the Igushik. Around 11% of the run is swimming to the Kwijak, and another 10% is headed to the Naknek. The Alagnek will see about 4%. 10% of the fish sampled were headed to Egigik, 6% were going to the North Peninsula, and 3% were Kuskokwim fish. Finally, a little over 1% of the sample were Togiak-bound fish. Taking a look at age composition, around the bay the biggest group are 1-2 fish. Fish that spend 1 year in freshwater and 2 in the ocean. The 1-2s make up almost 60% of the total sockeye run. The 1-3 fish make up another 27% of the run. In Egigik, most of the fish caught so far this season, over 60%, were 1-2 fish. That was also the biggest escapement group at around 50% of the river's escapement. Over in the Naknek River, 70% of the fish that escaped are 1-2s, and that age group made up 80% of the Kwijak's escapement. The Naknek Kwijak's drift harvest was 40%, 1-2s and 1-3s made up another 30%. The Mighty Noosh, where 1-2s are the majority as well, making up almost 70% of the fish harvested so far. The majority of the Nooshigak's river escapement is 1-3 fish, while over 80% of the Woods River is 1-2 fish. Ugashik is no exception here. More than 60% of that harvest is 1-2 salmon. And now we'll end with vessel registrations. This goes through Friday, July 8th at 9 a.m. Boats are still gravitating toward the Nooshigak District in the next few days. There are 548 vessels registered in the district, 176 of which are D boats. That goes up just a bit on Friday with 550 boats registered. The number of D boats stays at 176. As fish return to the Naknek Kwijak, the boats follow. There are 332 boats registered to fish in the district, 79 of which are D boats. That increases quite a bit on Friday with 362 boats registered. The number of D boats goes up to 88. In Egigik, 277 boats are set to fish there, and 86 of those are D boats. That drops just a bit by Friday with 275 boats registered there. D boats stay at 86. Ugashik will see a few more boats join its fleet in the next 2 days. It has 102 boats registered to fish there with 49 D boats. That will go up to 113 vessels on Friday, and 50 of those will be D boats. In Togiak, 31 boats are registered to fish, and that fleet will stay the same through Friday morning. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in a moment.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
You better hold on when I'm fishing. It's going to be crazy on board.
And we're back. Even though the fish have been slamming in the Nooshigak, the fishing hasn't been too rough. At least that's what Sean Howard says. He's a crew member on the fishing vessel St. Brendan.
Last night, actually, we had some giant sets. Two just back-to-back giant sets. And there was almost no boats out. It was kind of mysterious. Like we were wondering what happened to all the rest of the fishermen.
One of their biggest catches from the past week was a two-set tide when they hauled in around 12,000 pounds. Howard has been fishing in the bay since 2012, and while he's seen some slow years in other districts, the Nooshigak sockeye runs have been so consistently big that he's not really surprised, even when the fish hit hard.
It's unusual, the large numbers, but at the same time, we're kind of getting used to it, which is weird to say.
And while the fish have been pushing for Howard, the mood of the fishery has been chivalrous.
Seems like the guys have been out there being really professional and very courteous with their sets for the most part. Haven't seen a lot of the corking off kind of action that, you know, we always see previously. And it's been real nice. And everybody's hopefully getting a lot of fish and feeling good about it and staying safe and all 10 fingers and 10 toes working well and still attached.
It's been pretty busy out there. Next, we're going to talk about apportionment on the Nooshigak River. KDLG's Brian Venois sat down with East and West Side area management biologists to learn more about what rivers allow for apportionment and why.
When biologists apportion fish runs, they break down the total salmon escapement into species. That gives us counts for not only sockeye, but chinook and chum as well. Area management biologist Tim Sands says the reason the Nishigac is the only river that apportions is partly because of the river's muddier water.
All our other places are towers, and from the towers it's clear water and we can see the actual fish. On the Nishigac we're using sonar, and it's muddy water, and we can't see the actual fish, we just see the images of them going by. But it's like a shadow, it looks like an ultrasound.
Because the fish aren't as visible to the naked eye, Sands says they use other methods to check species.
We can't tell from that whether it's a chum or a king or a sockeye, so we do the drifts to apportion those raw counts of fish into the different species.
While parts of the river are less muddy, Sands says it would reduce the significance of the escapement counts.
The Nishigac is too turbid, and to find clear water, you'd have to go so far upstream that the information wouldn't be useful for management.
He says that apportioning the run allows biologists to monitor Nishigac River Chinook. But while managers consider the Chinook run during the season, decisions about the commercial fishery prioritize sockeye. Travis Ellison is the area management biologist on the east side of the bay. He says the kings don't typically swim past their counting towers.
Yeah, on the east side, our rivers are dominated by sockeye salmon. There are some king salmon populations in most of them, but most of the spawning occurs below the counting towers.
Ellison also says that counting towers can have a difficult time trying to estimate Chinook in rivers.
Even in places where there are kings going by towers, they're difficult to count because they tend to be more in the middle of the channel and we can't usually see all the way across. So while we do see some of the other species besides sockeye, our counts are, minimal at best.
While weirs can provide more accurate counts and allow for apportionment, the size of the runs in Bristol Bay makes using them unfeasible.
When you're dealing with, millions of salmon going into one river system, a weir would just hold them back. There were weirs pre-statehood in Bristol Bay when the runs were much smaller and before they had figured out how the counting towers work, but they really are the most efficient and the most accurate method we got for counting sockeye salmon here.
In Dillingham, I'm Brian Venois.
College students from Seattle and Juneau traveled to Bristol Bay this summer for a field-based course in salmon fisheries. For 3 weeks, students study the salmon fishery, meet with guest speakers, and take field trips. The ultimate goal? To learn how to make their own management decisions. I reported alongside the students on a field trip around Nishigac Bay last week. Milo Adkison knows a thing or two about Bristol Bay.
I was born at Kanakanak Hospital. I grew up here. I used to fish out on the bay.
Adkison is a fisheries professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. For the past 16 years, he has taught a field-based course in fisheries management for undergraduate students at University of Alaska Fairbanks and University of Washington. Students learn about fisheries management firsthand.
The idea is to bring them out here when the fishery is, hot and heavy. They get to see what the managers are doing. They get to, meet the fishermen, look at the local town and the communities and how they're dependent on it. We talk a lot about subsistence. We bring in a lot of guest speakers from the community, and so they get to see, what the fishery is really all about.
Last week, I hopped on a boat to tour Nishigac Bay with the students. It was one of the few sunny days and nearly windless days of the summer.
It's a very popular subsistence net site.
Stops along the educational tour included a snapshot of subsistence fishing on Kanakanak Beach, a set netter hauling in fish near Coffee Point, and a quick jump across the bay to see Nishigac Point. Set netter Mike Davis welcomed the class for a visit as he set nets in a narrow channel.
And we are fishing what's called we're doing a high water set. So the fish are up, and they're up in this creek, basically. And so we're trying to catch them. And you see it's going out. So we're going to probably clean this net.
The final stop took us on a quick bay crossing to Nishigac Point, where Atkinson provided a brief history of the Russian settlements and missions from the 1800s. He also talked about Clark's Point, fishing boundaries, and the canneries. During the onboard class, students asked questions in real time.
What are the rules for drift netters being in the area like Zen netters?
As we rowed back to the harbor, we kept an eye out for belugas, but didn't see any. Charlotte Gerzanix is a senior at the University of Washington. Her major is aquatic and fisheries science and environmental science. She appreciated the hands-on experience Atkinson's class provides.
We are out here learning about fishing and the regulations and the management of the different districts, and one thing we do is we shadow the actual district managers and make our own decisions of how many hours to fish and make our own management decisions and then compare how we do to them.
Gerzanix said she loves the course because it allows her to learn outside in Alaska. As Atkinson teaches the course, the fishery moves through its seasonal cycle of highs and lows, and each season has its own challenges.
This year, it's just this huge run to the Nooshigak. That's the big story this year, and the week Chinook run to the Nooshigak.
The students are in Alegnagik through the end of the week. In Dillingham, I'm Stephanie Maltrich. And that just about wraps up tonight's show. But before we take off, we will look at the marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay. All right. In Bristol Bay, there is a small craft advisory through tonight. There are west winds at 15 knots and seas at 4 feet. Thursday, tomorrow, there are southwest winds 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon, seas at 4 feet with patchy fog. And from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, there is also a small craft advisory through tonight. There will be west winds at 20 knots and seas at 6 feet. And Thursday, tomorrow, there will be southwest winds 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. And a quick look at the tides. At Clark's Point in Nooshigak Bay, the next low tide is at 8:39 p.m. at 1.17 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, the next low tide is 9:12 p.m. at negative 0.29 feet. And over at the Egagik River entrance, the next low tide is 7:33 p.m., negative 0.33 feet. And we will end tonight's show by sharing some messages to the fleet. To Stephen Jones, I love and miss you so much. Fill those tanks and hurry home. To Dottie and I, also your garden is huge and cherry tomato plants are taller than me now. See you soon. Love always, Brandy. There's also an XOXO in there. To Ryan Aberg, happy birthday from your family in Anchorage. Wishing the rest of the Aberg family a good fishing season on Ekuk Beach. To Makani Bondo Foster, happy birthday, Bon. We all love you so, so much, especially your new son, Canon Cap. Love and aloha from Danielle, Mom, M, Katie, Malia, Chloe, Charlotte, Chaz, Kanie, Kahunu, and the rest of the Ohana. Good luck to you and your crew. If you'd like to get a message out to the fleet on the show, perhaps to say hi from back home or wish them luck, send your messages to the fleet, fish@kdlg.org. We love hearing them and sending them along. The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible with the generous support of our underwriters and individual contributions from you, the fishing fleet. We really appreciate it. We'll head out on a song this evening I decided to play because I know the fishermen are up working hard all night long. Good night, good fishing, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.